Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We love getting the insight from our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I'm great. Good morning, everyone.
So we have been listing our way through the offseason. You know, we check out the list, see where the Packers are ranked, and the guys inform me that who put out this list about the 10 best safeties? What is it, ESPN?
So ESPN, execs, coaches, and scouts, Jeremy Fowler's the one who puts it out.
And they've been doing position by position,
by position all week.
So here we are at safeties, and Xavier McKinney is 10th on the list. I got to be honest, based on all the fanfare that surrounded Xavier McKinney coming to the Green Bay Packers, I expected him to be higher, Jason. Was that on me?
No, and not only that, but that list that we, I think you were the first one to show it to me, the 33rd team with the best 25 players under, 25 or under, they had to adjust it so they could get Jordan Love on the list. Xavier McKinney's 24, and he's not on the list either. So that doesn't mean that the linchpin of the Packers defense won't be a fantastic player for them, but it kind of underscores the fact that Goody paid not for past performance, but for what they're expecting from him in the future. And they're expecting him to be a field-tilting player at the most important position in Jeff Hafley's system.
Jason, me and Gabe went through, did you see Bill Barnwell's list on skill positions? So it was just tight ends, running backs, and receivers throughout the league. And I was kind of...
I heard you discussing this.
Oh, you did. Were you surprised by that? They were, what, Gabe,
17th?
17th, but within the division, they were last. Were you surprised at all?
I guess I was, but at the same time, like, this is one of the arguments that we have heard a lot of people make, and Gabe, I apologize, I don't remember where you stand on this, but there's been so much conversation. I think all of us that cover the team wrote some variation of the, is it better to have a number one wide receiver, or is it better to have a bunch of guys that can be the number one receiver on any given day? Look, I still want star players. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that puts me in the minority. I just don't understand this kind of reasoning that it's great to have all these guys that are decent. Like, if you're a Packers fan, I would think, and there was a, somebody sent me a stat about Dontavian Wicks and his yards per
route run.
Target. Yeah, route run. That's what it was.
Yeah, because that was in the Barnwell article.
Mm-hmm. 2.2.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was from. I mean, he's a... Look, if he turns into some version of Davante Adams and he's a number one receiver, or if Jaden Reed continues down the path that he has started on from his rookie season last year, or Christian Watson really has solved the riddle of his hamstring and is able to be the guy that was being mentioned in the same sentence as Randy Moss, I'm sorry, I think that's a great thing. And I think it's a little crazy that we don't think that that's necessarily good, because, and I always go back to that Sports Illustrated cover, because Aaron Rodgers, in the first year he won an MVP, he had an embarrassment of riches at tight end and wide receiver. But he also had a guy in Greg Jennings who was the clear-cut number one, and yet also had Jordy Nelson emerging to surpass him. And the difference now, and the reason why they don't have a clear-cut number one now, is because they always had a clear line of succession, right? Sharp to Brooks, even though Brooks had his injury problems, to Freeman, to Driver, to Jennings, to Nelson, to Adams. And then after they traded Adams, I'm not going to say Alan Lazard's name. I'm sorry that he led them in receiving that year, but he was not a one. And so now they've got all these guys kind of vying for that title at the same time. And so there was no clear cut. Okay, he's next. And we're waiting for who's going to emerge. But I still believe someone will. So I wasn't completely stunned by that, but I do think that that group is probably slightly underappreciated just because we don't have enough evidence to prove how good we all who watch them more closely think they could be.
But Jason, doesn't this fall on LaFleur? LaFleur's got to get away from, well, Malik Heath only got four plays. I got to get him. Screw that. You play the best player. If Musgrave is better than Kraft, you don't alternate. Do you agree with that? That's how you develop number ones and things like, not by sharing time. It's like, no, you're the guy. 65 plays in a game is not a lot. And stop dividing it up.
Yeah, I would push back on that a little bit. I mean, you know, during the second half of last season, Reed was banged up, right? I mean, he was on the injury report every week. Wicks was banged up. We obviously know how much time Watson missed. Like, if everyone's healthy, I would say that there are going to be four wide receivers that play the most, right? It's mm-hmm. going to be Reed, Wicks, Dobbs, and Watson. Fair?
Yes.
Now, if they bring in Malik Heath, they're probably telling the whole world that it's most likely a running play. You know, the guy that I think deserves to still be in the rotation is Bo Melton as the fifth guy. And so, you know, what does that mean? Like, does that mean he gets 20 snaps in a game? I don't know. But, you know, the problem, the difference here, and you know, not to make you sound like the old man yelling at the cloud, but if Terry Mickens was better, then Holmgren would have trotted him out there more often, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Terry Mickens, for those that aren't as ancient as Chewy and I, was a wide receiver that the Packers had during the Chimura era, who was, I think, at times the number three receiver.
Yeah.
But he was a special teams guy. He had limitations. Mm-hmm. You know, no offense to Bill Schrader, who doesn't like me and I don't like him, but you know, I don't think you want him on the field. Frankly, you probably didn't want him on the field as much as they had him on the field in 99. Because he was their second receiver back then, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's probably a hole in Ron's resume that, you know, that they had to play Bill Schrader as much as they did. And I'm not saying that to be a jerk to him. I'm just saying, you know, ideally you have a guy that's better. And so, again, I think it's great that this system and this configuration of wide receivers, that anybody could be the guy for one game. And it's not like Brett early in his career where it was Favre to Sharp, Favre to Sharp, Favre to Sharp, and on and on and on. But at some point, when the money's on the table, you want somebody to be that guy. And, you know, the problem with the way things have played out is I really feel like Romeo Dobbs is kind of that guy on third down or in the red zone. And nobody seems to like Romeo Dobbs as much as I do.
Jason, what are the Packers doing with all this land they're buying up? Keep seeing articles popping up all over the place. Apparently they leveled the homes that they purchased on Stadium Drive. They were right next to each other. Homes were knocked down, and now they're flattening them out. What is this all in preparation for the draft? They're just trying to get as much land as possible for the draft?
Wait, I just want to make sure I haven't driven over there in a while. The Tundra Trio is still there, right?
Our Tundra Trio, yes. Our Tundra Trio is still there. But houses across the street, apparently, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, were removed, and the crew was leveling properties this week.
Yeah, I can't say for certain. But again, I don't know if you've heard, because it's a smaller story, but I know you've been following it. The draft is coming to Green Bay next year.
Hmm.
And I know in talking to some buddies that cover the Lions that the NFL came in and just raised buildings like because they needed to have space for, I don't know if it's Ferris wheels or what they were clearing space for, but they're clearing space for that, I would guess. Now, unfortunately, the Packers have scheduled our sit-down about the financials for the same day as the Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open. So I will not be able to attend that, and I'll be at the Bog instead. But that is among the questions that I'm going to ask my buddy Bill Huber to ask on my behalf, because I have seen that as well. Maybe someone else will ask it, and Bill won't even have to do it on my at my behest, but I'm guessing that's the reason, but I don't know the answer.
Last thing for you, Jason, before we let you go. Obviously, Devontae Adams has been in the news. I believe he was on Up and Adams, the show with Kay Adams. It's a lot of Adams happening here. We throw in Benny's relative, John Adams, and things get really interesting. But sounds like no reunion for him and the Packers or him and Aaron Rodgers, who apparently has been in the ear of Devontae Adams, for them to reunite in New York. What do you think of that? Is that a good look for it to be out there that Rodgers wants Adams back with him in New York?
Yeah, obviously they have a lot of history together. They've got some pretty good wide receivers there, but it's not like they couldn't benefit from, arguably, if maybe Justin Jefferson's had surpassed him, the second best receiver in the league. Things have not worked out the way Devontae, I'm sure, hoped they would when he went to Las Vegas. I actually texted him yesterday saying, hey, you're doing a hell of a lot of media. How about coming on our show? And my understanding is that the good people at Netflix who are promoting Receiver may have paid him handsomely. And I don't have that deep of pockets to get him on our show. But we went back and forth for a while. And I would just say this, and I'm not here to speak for him. I think he is disappointed with the way things have played out. I mean, he was going there to play with his old college teammate, Derek Carr. He got 1 year with him. Then it was like Aiden O'Connell and Jimmy G. And I mean, I think he's a really, really competitive guy. And so I don't think from a football perspective, he's probably real happy about the way it's worked out. But I think from like a lifestyle perspective, like I know his wife Dev is due any day with their third child. I think they're really happy in Las Vegas. Like I don't know about you guys, because I'm always leery of this. This is something that if, you know, Jen ever shares her therapist with me, I should talk to them about this. But like, I'm always a little leery when things are going really well. I'm always nervous that there's something lurking around the corner. So I'm almost, my default setting is I have to always worry because it feels like it like staves off bad news, which is not a healthy mentality, but like, things are going pretty okay for the Wildies right now. And well, maybe, and for me, work is going great too, but for him, I feel like he's got a really good personal life going. And maybe the work life isn't quite where it worried like to be. I don't think he necessarily wants to go to the Jets. I know he doesn't want to come back here based on what he said to Kay Adams. So I think the challenge for him is right now, part of my life is great. I would really like to see the Raiders get their act together, but I think he's really good with where he is. I know he likes Antonio Pierce as his head coach. And so I don't know. I mean, this again is the time of the year where we have conversations that it's that almost felt like, I don't know about you guys, but that almost felt like what happens in the NBA, where I feel like the media and the kind of ecosystem around NBA talk is always about who's teaming up with who and who's unhappy and who wants to go there and here. And that almost felt like an NBA-style conversation that I don't think he's going anywhere, but they kind of talked about it anyway.
With all due respect, I'm not sure anybody's real happy in Las Vegas this week. 118, 116, 113.
The dry heat.
Those are the temperatures in Las Vegas right now.
I thought that was their offensive output the last eight games of the season.
Rushing yards?
110 could be.
I tell you what, though, there's nothing worse going into a season where you know you're going to suck.
Yeah.
That's terrible, yeah. You know? It's just awful. What would he command in compensation? Would he still be a first?
You mean open market free agency or trade?
Trade.
Oh, I think he's still worth the first round.
First round?
I mean, his numbers last year, even with the situation at quarterback, were still pretty good. I mean, he was a three-time first team All-Pro 3 years running, and if he had a competent quarterback, I'm sure his numbers would have looked very similar. I mean, they were, again, I don't have them in front of me, but I think his numbers were pretty good last year, despite being in a completely dysfunctional situation.
1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns for Devontae Adams.
For
Aiden O'Connell throwing you the football?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Listen to Wildy and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Gabe?
Change the way you do business and take more control with the payment process with our friends at Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line, all customized for your business. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.